Hey, hello, welcome. This is Austin Williams, and you're listening to Relevant Tones. We are listening to the album Human Capital today, a collaborative album between Scott Miller, Adam Vidixis, and Sam Wells. I've had the pleasure to meet all these individuals in different circumstances, and they're all quite lovely independently, and they made quite a stellar album collaboratively. I happened to be at a festival, Splice Festival, more on that later, a little bit of a preview for y'all, but Adam and Sam are on faculty there, and I had the chance to speak with them about it, so... Yeah, the following conversation was between me, Adam, and Sam talking about the album, and I don't want to give too much away, but it's pretty incredible, the amount of technology and the amount of effort that they put into creating this album, and I'll let the conversation speak for itself, so here it goes.
I'm Sam Wells. I'm a trumpet player, composer, and multimedia artist based in Philadelphia. I'm currently assistant professor of music technology at Temple University. And like to do a lot of collaborative work involving technology, performance, and improvisation.
Yeah, great.
And Sam and I share a lot of overlap. I'm Adam Vidixis. I'm a drummer, so that's different, but also a composer and improviser and multimedia artist. And also a professor of music technology at Temple University.
There you go. Yeah, I think it's cool that you guys are kind of in the same... literal neighborhood, you know, and then you can kind of create an even tighter collaboration when you work together. So
Yeah, absolutely.
So I really wanted to talk to you guys. Well, I reached out to Sam about the album Human Capital, and then you were like, Adam played on this too. I'm like, duh. So you know, here we are.
Yeah.
First of all, congrats. It's a cool project.
Thank you.
It was really cool to when I saw it or, you know, listened to it when it was released. And I was really compelled by all these lovely, you know, sonic worlds that were being explored. Scott Miller is obviously like a really cool composer. He was president of Seamus for a while. But, you know, he's clearly like a big name in the electroacoustic world. So I kind of want to like maybe, well, have you worked with him prior to this project at all? Or like what's kind of your guys' relationship to Scott and kind of how did this project how did it get going?
This was the first time I had worked with Scott. I knew Scott. We had worked together somewhat administratively on a few things, but this was the first artistic collaboration for me.
Sure.
Scott and I had worked on a couple of things, nothing on this scale, but had played together a few times and things like that, and he'd come out to Philly. But this was like definitely the first like big project that we did. Yeah. But that kind of came out of working together on the board for Seamus.
Okay.
When I was there. So then we just started kind of working on little things together.
And sure.
Yeah. Then when the pandemic hit, like that was really, you know, everyone was like, what are we going to do with ourselves?
Yeah.
So we started, you know, jamming online, and that's kind of how that was like the initial impetus.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. Talk about jamming online. How did that work?
Yeah. I mean, I think like a lot of people, you know, at that time, you know, after a few weeks passed, and I was like, well, how do we really do this? And, you know, and Jack Tripp was, you know, like making huge strides, like suddenly the world of like telematic music, like made, you know, huge leaps forward because I was like, damn, we need to get this done.
Right.
And yeah, so, I mean, we were all three of us were like working on that and figuring it out or whatever. Yeah. And I think it was also partly out of that in that like people were sharing information and then it was like, oh, and we should play, you know. So it was kind of both things.
Okay.
But in some ways the first step was, oh, you got something working, what did you do, you know, like what how did you make this better? Oh, this thing came out, I know, I learned the parameters, I talked to this person.
Sure.
You know, so it was more of an information sharing at first, and mm-hmm. then it became like, oh yeah, well let's play.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, very quickly turned into a early or late April 2020.
Oh wow.
Just to a weekly kind of standing jam session. We're all kind of looking at that blank slate of the next year when everything had been canceled.
Yeah.
And like, what are we going to do musically?
Wow.
And, so it really just started out as like a weekly, we get together, try to figure out this technology and then make music.
Limitations breed creativity, right?
You know, yeah.
It's a great example of that. And obviously the circumstances were pretty awful, but mm-hmm. that's kind of I had no idea that that was part of maybe the impetus or the beginning parts of this project. So.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, excellent. I know Scott through his works. He came as a featured artist for like our electroacoustic festival when I was in grad school. So I got to know him pretty well then. I think he's pretty connected with some of the professors at Chicago College of Performing Arts, being, from Minnesota and stuff like that. And I know his whole thing is like biofeedback and creating these like living sonic organisms. And of course, he's not here to speak on it, but what was your, or how did that impact you guys? I would love to hear, your interaction with that idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so all of our collaboration was, for the most part, just free music, mm-hmm. getting together and playing.
Okay.
But a lot of Scott's approach to electronics and in his systems, he has these really complex and very sonically interesting, like, ecosystemic relationships between events.
Yeah.
So a lot of, I think, our improvisations are the starting point where we would kind of jump into this environment.
Yeah, okay.
And it would be an environment maybe of just like some sort of sonic relationships or some related sound events. And I always felt like we were kind of navigating a different space or an environment. Mm-hmm. And that always kind of felt like our entry point each time we came into it.
Okay.
And I think a lot of that processing on Scott's side and the way he sets that up relates to those fields of like biofeedback and like kind of an ecological approach to aesthetics that he brings into it.
Yeah.
It felt a lot of times like he's kind of like a level designer in a video game, like in an open world, video game. And it's like you get to enter that space and then you have all the freedom to explore and go the directions you want. But ultimately, like he's setting up a lot of these systems that you're navigating, and that's gonna, dictate your response and things like that, to some degree, or at least not. I don't mean dictate, but like it's there, and you're gonna like, how are you going to, respond to
you're
that?
Like is interacting with this living thing?
Absolutely. Yeah.
It was interesting how he also brought that into the telematic space because obviously so much of that normally in his practice is also related to like the acoustic space that you're in, and then bringing that back. So I know he spent a lot of time. How can that be developed then in a fully like virtual space, essentially? Like,
there's
the acoustics of our rooms that we were in, for our recordings. And interesting at that time, Sam was in LA. So, even though he's in Philly now, I was in the Philadelphia area, and then Sam was in LA, and then Scott, is in
Minnesota.
So it was just like, it was even further than it would seem from where we are currently based.
Yeah. And it's worth mentioning, just to kind of put this in human capital in context, all of that was recorded telematically.
Was it really?
Yeah. Holy. So when I was in LA, and Scott was in Minnesota, and then Adam.
It sounds so good.
And that was the second album we released. It was all recorded telematically. So, yeah.
It's, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's two of them from that period of time. It was Memory Palace is the first one.
Okay.
And then this is the second, which is sequential. I mean, like, we pulled takes, but I think everything was... No?
No, they're interleaved.
Oh, there's a little interleaving?
Yeah.
But they're more weighted.
Thank you.
Thank you.
this process of getting together every week.
Yeah.
I think it's been such a long time since I'd ever like been in a band where we just had standing rehearsals and rehearsed that much.
Yeah.
It was so much fun.
Yeah.
We really need it because this was a new way to interact. Mm-hmm. Also, the three of us had never played together before. Adam and I already had like a vocabulary from all of our work and with Splice Ensemble. Yeah. So a lot of like things you can grab onto. But I was getting to know Scott telematically.
Right.
In a music way, yeah. Which is tricky. But through this process, this kind of creative development, also Scott was recording everything and fine-tuning his approach to telematically record us. And yeah.
That's so wild. It sounds really good, like on the album. So the fact that, I mean, I'd imagine you recorded things locally and then kind of mixed it together. No, it was all compiled in the moment, pretty much.
Scott did all that work. Yeah, all was recorded on his side.
Yep. Yeah, everything. Insane. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. All right. I mean, obviously, I enjoyed the album, but I have just so much like respect for the technology that went into like, making it.
Yeah.
That's absolutely wild.
Yeah.
Very cool. Cool. Well, I mean, thank you for sharing that. That's really, that's really enlightening. So I was going to ask earlier about how Scott's like, biofeedback and those systems that he creates, like how that kind of impacted form for maybe some of these things. But it sounds like you're truly interacting with like another performer in like a very like organic way. So it's not like it's imposing itself on your guys.
No,
playing.
Definitely not.
No.
Yeah. It's just, you know, Scott's just a really lovely guy. I think that he thinks about that stuff a lot when he's creating these moments. Great. So, I mean, I'm really interested in the sounds that are made on the album. It's you know, I can definitely pick out percussion, obviously. And then there's these lovely droning moments where I'm not quite sure if it's, you know, a processed instrument or if that's just like Scott's, you know, thing. And did you guys have to have a conversation about like, okay, like timbre palette or like instrument palette and how you kind of like navigated that?
Yeah, we never really like talked about it from that standpoint.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of like when we did talk about, you know, we would have conversations like, "Oh, this worked really well," or "This took a while to get started," but you know, like I liked when it got here. Like it was more of those types of things. It was rarely ever like, "Oh, I don't know if this," like you know, I think all of that came from just you know doing it so often week to week and kind of developing. Yeah. A language that we all like work together, but it wasn't that part of it was not something that we discussed. You know, with language other than music,
we would perhaps like get in kind of a rut of doing something that was like working well. Then someone would be like, "Hey, what if we try something that's the total opposite?"
Yeah.
So there was a lot of I think us kind of critically trying to explore what we were doing, but we never really sought out to make specific sounds.
Yeah. It's that
organic development through the process.
Yeah, I mean it's like improv techniques of like, okay, we're comfortable. How do we like move ourselves away
from this
totally comfortable space? And I mean at what point did it start to feel comfortable like in this such a virtual space? I mean I would imagine it was pretty weird, but like did it kind of hit pretty instantly or
it took a while, but then you know doing it so much because it was weekly, and then also like Sam and I were working on some other things outside of this, so it was so much virtual interaction and you know having like a standing weekly thing that you know it took a while, but it was such a long period of time that it was like, I remember, you know, after whatever it was, like 2 or 3 months, it was just like, it is weird how not weird this feels now.
Yeah.
Yes, you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
I think there was, the first month really felt like just figuring out the technology.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, and like, we started out that it was like a Zoom, Skype, Quack Trip.
Yeah.
Like, we're using three things at once, and then I don't know that, but then we got through that, and then Scott had his own server that we were running through. By the end, we were doing Netty McNetface through that.
Yeah,
which is, if I'm mistaken, that's a Jack implementation of Pure Data, right?
So it's a Jack Trip server with like PD.
Okay.
Interesting.
And Miller Puckett made those and distributed them early in the pandemic, which was awesome. But I feel like once that kind of started to get settled in, then it was like we'd show up and be very quickly making music every time. And then once that happened, it was just like...
Now it really started
to get settled into it.
Yeah, I mean, really cool that the music technology community is seemingly just like... It's like, all right, we're in this together. We got to figure it out. You know, let's share what we got. And was super supportive of each other's,
projects.
Yeah. I mean, obviously never want to go back to that format again, but I mean, it does like, you know, seemingly you guys progress technology in a really interesting way, to make this work. And that, I mean, there's really something to be said for that, you know?
Yeah. It was kind of an interesting thing that like it's rare that like a whole community shifts like that, like maybe like wars, right? Where like all the car factories were gonna make tanks now.
Right.
But fortunately it was a situation where, like, but on a scale of that kind of like obviously global level, you know, as we all know, it was amazing to see the whole community be like, oh, we need to figure this out.
Right.
Like all hands on deck. Let's figure out how do we play for the next year or more or whatever it's going to be.
Yeah.
And such incredible, you know, advancements were made.
Yeah.
That, you know, thinking about even like with a state of the art when the pandemic hit, which was fairly advanced. Obviously, telematics stuff's been going on for a real long time.
Mm-hmm.
To where it was three or six months later was incredible.
Yeah. Thank you. I have one question about, like, what was the vetting process on creating, like, the individual tracks, or, like, what like, made you decide, like, okay, because it sounds like these are all very organic improv sessions.
Yeah.
In a way. So you probably had to, like, you know, sift through a good amount of stuff to be like, okay, this feels like an entity or something along those lines.
And we had, like, because Scott was recording all the time, like, he would share, obviously, the things or whatever. And so we all had kind of in mind, like, when we started thinking, oh, we should start putting some of this material out at some point.
Sure.
You know, we were like, each of us had some things. It was like, oh, that one was good. Let me go back and listen. You know, let me go. And it was sort of that process. Yeah. But it was great because we already had such a big database of work. I think the other thing that was important about that to some degree was that with, like, you know, obviously the other thing we're figuring out is not only these systems, but no matter how good the systems got, like, how do we play telematically? How do we deal with latency? Yeah. How do we deal with...
Yeah.
communication when you know that's you're not in the same room together in whatever ways that means, and responding to each other. And you know, obviously any one of these, like, there's no one perceptual space, right? Like, it's going to sound different to me, like the way things line up are going to sound different to me than they do to the other players, right? So hearing it from Scott's end, I'm like, oh, that kind of worked the way I thought it did. I mean, it's shifted, like, you know, we'd find these, like, you know, tempos that were like multiples of the latency. So we would able, you know, even be able to play in time if we wanted to. You know what I mean? It wasn't always like, oh, we have to do free time because we can't line up.
Right.
So, but it was interesting because, like, obviously my experience of, like, playing the time in that moment and the way, you know, Sam and Scott were responding is now shifted when we hear it from Scott's point of view on the recording.
Yeah.
So that was really important because we needed, you know, otherwise it would always have been a shot in the dark for me and Sam about, like, well, I don't know what, you know, we're kind of calling Scott's, you know, configuration home base. It was like, I would never know.
Yeah, we never experienced that.
Feedback, you're like, well, okay. Or they'd be like, nah, nah, not that one. That sounded totally different to me. It's not really working the way I thought it did. You know?
Sure.
So it was cool to be able to find that out and then see what actually works.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, so we had almost 2 years of, I mean, I don't know how many hours of stuff we have. Probably end up with, like, I don't know, 15 hours of music recorded.
Wow. Yeah.
It's like,
yeah, it's a lot.
Well recorded.
And you shrunk that down into
an hour. We've got spreadsheets. I think, you know, with something like this too, one, because it was new, but two, is just, you know, and a lot of it we'll probably never release. There's still good stuff in there, but it's just we did that. We most everything on the albums are like the complete takes. I think a few we excerpted to fit the album length, and also just like, oh, it That one really started 3 minutes in. That's when that one started going. And like,
yeah.
We were just, I think, really trying to showcase what we thought was like powerful from what we were doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're kind of leaning into the philosophy of like, you know, if it's kind of about human interaction and like this weird space where we're not able to interact, you know, like we are now. I don't know. There's layers to it that you guys are definitely like kind of addressing in a meaningful way, you know. Yeah, excellent. Can I ask what the title, how did that come about? Or what's the title of the album? Was it just kind of a thing that you guys came up with in one point?
Yeah, I mean, I think the other interesting thing, I mean, to some degree it was that like, well, what are we going to call this thing? But obviously also alongside all the playing, you know, it always start with and end with these huge conversations because, you know, we're just... Yeah. You know, stuck at home and everybody's like, had time. And how do we, you know, how do I talk to anyone that I don't live with in this house? You know
right,
what I mean? And so like,
right.
So there was a lot of that. And I, you know, like looking back on the things that we decided, there was so much that came out of those conversations that we drew on for, you know, like thinking about those titles, even though it wasn't like direct, like, oh, at that, you know, right before that set, we had this particular talk.
Right,
but it was just thematically connected to so many of the things that we were talking about through that whole period of time.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I would imagine really cathartic in a lot of ways, too. You know,
oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Almost therapy during that time.
Yeah.
Being able to still create art. And,
absolutely.
Yeah, there were a few sessions that were like major therapy sessions musically that were like, oh, my gosh, that was crazy. And then we listened a few weeks later like, that was just good to do in the moment. That didn't.
Yeah, yeah. We just needed to get that out.
Yeah.
Hard times, you know.
I mean, that's important though, you know.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks for all the info that you've shared with me on it. Is there anything else about the album that we didn't touch on that you guys want to talk about briefly or however long you want to?
Well, the only thing that I would add is the sort of end of the story in some ways, or at least as it stands right now, not the end of the very, very end, but where we got to. It was weird to be in a group that then we had to learn how to play together to get in person.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like I'd never had that experience to like know so well, like playing for years and know all like so much of the vocabulary that we developed, like all of that stuff, and then be like, oh, we're in the same room.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
That was a bizarre experience, dang. You know, because we've done like, you know, some concerts and a little touring and stuff now. And like when we're like, oh, we got, you know, we need to learn to play together in the same room. You know, what a weird thing to come to after so many years of like experience with
Yeah,
strange.
But it's been fun to go into that next chapter. We've done some in-person recording sessions this past spring that were, I think, should turn out really well.
Yeah.
And, it was kind of fun to do that after all of the weight training of being compromised by like telematic pandemic. Then like, let's do it actually at the right level.
That was
a lot of fun. And I think that will turn out really well.
Hell yeah. Great, guys. Is there anything you want to plug? Do you have anything coming up that you guys want to throw into the universe?
I mean, the biggest thing is go listen to the album.
Go check the album.
Go check it out.
Yeah.
If you like it, you go back and listen to Memory Palace.
There's Memory Palace.
There you go. Yeah, I listened to it on the car ride here, so it's a good like zone.
Cool,
and
cool,
look at the trees as you're driving by.
So. And both of those are out on Scarp Records,
okay,
which is a little label I'm running. And there's also another great album also featuring Scott and Kyle Hutchins that they recorded telematically, and it's fantastic.
Cool.
Havana. Really, really excellent. So check that out as well.
Okay. Yeah. Great. Well, thanks, guys. Yeah.
You bet.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Thank you again for joining me on this episode of Relevant Tones. I had a lovely time chatting with Adam and Sam about this incredibly, obviously collaborative album, but just like technologically advanced. And I mean, it really blew my mind when they told me that they were recording everything that is recorded was done via Zoom telecommunication, and they were able to create something as evoking and compelling as they did. So please go check out the album. It's just three long tracks, and then check out some of the other projects they've done together, because they are also stellar. And then also, of course, check out the individual artists and the things that they plugged at the end of the episode. And this is your reminder that Relevant Tones is a product of Access Contemporary Music. Find out more at acmusic.org, and we'll catch you next time. Thanks. Thank you.